Christ. Amen. We have the gospel for today, and here are a few verses, beginning with the second chapter of St. Luke, the 22nd verse. When the time came for them to be purified according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn boy shall be called the Lord's Holy One, and offer a sacrifice according to the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This is the text. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, indeed give us hungry hearts for your holy word, and further also give us minds to think and concentrate, and ears to hear, hearts to receive and believe, and then also lives to show forth a truth that we know of your Savior, of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory now and forever. Amen. Friends, this is a day with four occasions, and maybe a fifth if anybody is celebrating an anniversary or birthday. Today is in the secular world, and many Christians will join in a day called the Super Bowl Sunday. Of course, most everyone here, and I think our pastor included, is for the Broncos and for Peyton Manning. That is one thing that we also remember. Another, the world seems interested in the unreliable, unpredictable groundhog, and so this is also called Groundhog's Day, February the 2nd. And in the church, as is noted in the bulletin, this is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. But it is also another day, February the 2nd. I call it a minor festival, as opposed to the major festivals of Christmas and Epiphany and Easter, the Ascension, Pentecost. The minor festival, as also our pastor loves to observe those, if not on the particular Sunday, then the following Wednesday. But it so happens that this is February the 2nd, and forever remember, the 40th day after Christmas, 40 days counting Christmas Day, and it is called the day of the presentation of our Lord and the purification of Mary, the Virgin Mary. We will pause and remember this on this day. May it be ever remembered, henceforth and forevermore. February the 2nd, the day, the festival of the presentation of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the temple, and also the purification of Mary. This goes back, of course, to the Old Testament, and I'll leave it up to you to read in chapters like Exodus 13, where the Lord speaks to Moses and says that every firstborn son is mine, is to be set apart for me, the Lord. And of course, we know that that took place until the time of the Levites, when the Levites, as a tribe, became especially the Lord's servants. And then the firstborn son would be redeemed from that particular service for a price, maybe the sacrifice of a lamb and the sharing of some shekels of silver. That's Exodus 13 and Numbers 18. And of course, concerning the purification of a mother, I'll leave it to you to read the 12th chapter of Exodus. So that would be your assignment. Exodus 13, the son, the firstborn son, special, set apart for the Lord. Exodus 12, as to the purification of the mother following childbirth and the birth of a male, a son. She would be considered unclean for 7 days and was to remain, if you will, separate, secluded, for another 33 days, hence making 40 days, and then to the priest, to the temple, with a sacrifice. And so that's what we see faithful parents, Mary and Joseph, doing. On the way to the temple to present their son and also to provide for her purification, the rite of purification. And so that's what we see taking place in the temple. But a very unusual thing happened while they were there. There was aged Simeon. He had been promised in a special dream, a special vision, a special word of assurance that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord. And moved by the Spirit, the Spirit so indicated this indeed was the promised salvation. And he went and boldly took that baby up in his arms and said those beautiful words that we sing in our services on many occasions. A couple of our liturgies have that, the Nunc Dimittis, Latin words for now let depart. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Beautiful. And also, he proceeded to give something of a prophetic word, something of an alarming word. Mary, this boy is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Many will stumble over this man, for he indeed is God in the flesh. That would be all part of it. This man and his message, it would be the cause of the fall of so many. We could go for a long time talking about how the people refused to accept him, by and large, and especially, of course, the leaders. When he made it clear that he was calling God his Father in a very special way. You can read it again in the Gospel of John, like chapters 5 and 8, 10. Beautiful, powerful chapters that set forth Jesus as being the Son of God. We're told that his enemies were about to pick up stones one time to kill him. And why are you doing this? He asked in all innocence. And they said, not because of any good work that you have done, but because you, being a man, make yourself equal with God. You call your God your Father, making yourself equal with God. And so they stumbled over Jesus and fell to their doom. And of course, as the fullness of the gospel became apparent, this Jesus was indeed to be the suffering servant and would go to the cross, suffer and die, and rise again for the sins of the world to provide salvation for everyone. And again, for so many, as it were, a stone, a rock that would be stumbled over. Paul spoke of it as the world treats this as foolishness, this word of Christ and him crucified. but we know it to be God's wisdom. And so therefore we preach Christ and Him crucified, the only Savior from sin, even though to the Jew it is a stumbling block and to the Greeks it is foolishness. That was the thought of Simeon's little prophecy. But then also the rising again. Many would rise, namely even unto eternal life in heaven. They would be raised from the dead, the spiritual death in which all man finds him or herself by nature, dead in trespasses and sins, but in Christ, new life. Maybe for many or most of us here, Christ laid his name and claim on us first in baptism, or maybe otherwise through the reading of the naked word or the hearing of a message with Christ and him crucified set forth. The power of the Holy Spirit was there. You came to know, to believe in Jesus Christ. The rising of many, even finally unto eternal life. The words of Simeon also are beautiful. At the time of death, as he was anticipating now his departure from this life, what beautiful words for a Christian to be able to say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Luther had an interesting comment on those that have fallen, have stumbled over this rock. The way he puts it, he said, the lost have to say this, O God, I have not been thy servant, and now I depart in unrest. My heart is troubled and sorrowful and does not know which way to turn. What I have here on earth, I well know. What I shall get there, I cannot know. And besides, I worry about your wrath, punishment, and eternal damnation. What practical words. The thought of knowing Christ and being able to even one day face death with a peace that the world does not have. Or the thought of not knowing Christ and the gloom and doom awaiting, the unrest of heart and mind and soul. And then in this presentation of Jesus in the purification of Mary, there was also Anna. We would understand it to be she was 84 years old, having been a widow after 7 years of marriage. But she had had a life still devoted to the Lord and in his temple, and also anticipated the coming of the promised one. And also knowing that this was the salvation provided by the Lord, she called to all around that would hear in words of praise as to the salvation that God has provided. There's one other little word of application that came to my mind as we thought of beautiful Mary and Joseph wanting to fulfill every bit of the ceremonial law as they could, the presentation in the temple. No easy thing. We would understand again that they had come from Bethlehem at this point, and that was 6-7 miles. And again, with a baby, how did they go? On a donkey or what? Still not an easy trip. They determined they would be faithful parents. I happened to scan the article in last Sunday's parade about Megyn Kelly. who's the lady in charge of the Kelly Files on Fox News, often very interesting. But I was sorry when she was asked in an interview this question, "What's a typical Sunday like for your family?" "Oh, we go to the park, we ride our bikes, we go out with the kids on their scooters. Normal stuff that parents do." I thought that was indeed so sad. So sad that we forget, as the last verse of this gospel says, there's not only the physical growth, as Jesus proceeded to grow physically, there's not only the mental growth that you're concerned about as parents, there's not only the social growth, good manners and reasonable social skills, increasing not only in favor with man, not only growing physically, mentally, in favor with man, but they forget direly, so many parents, there is the spiritual side. I consider it so sad and so grievous for those parents that neglect this, that leave it to their own children to decide for themselves when they grow up. And they will take a walk in the park or a ride on their bikes. We see the example of faithful Mary and Joseph. At no great difficulty, no small difficulty, going to the temple in Jerusalem and there fulfilling that portion of the law. But what ties this all together? What makes this all possible? Is the fact that Jesus took our place. In the epistle lesson for today, that spells it out. That puts it all into perspective. What this is all about? The purification, presentation, the words of peace. How is all that possible? Because Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness, to take our place. Or as Paul would say in Galatians 4:4, he was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And that's also the way the epistle which you have just heard puts it, the second chapter of Hebrews. "Now, since all these children have flesh and blood, he in the same way took on flesh and blood in order to die and so take away all the powers of him who had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and to free those who, terrified by death, had to be slaves all their lives, slaves to sin." To Satan, because he himself suffered what he was tested, he can help others when they are tested. He is the source of strength and power to better go God's way, to be good parents and bring children up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. And also then one day, facing the last trial, that he's with us in trials all along life's way, giving a peace and a strength that the world does not have, even as Paul found, as he expressed it in that great chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that he had a thorn in the flesh, "Lord, take it away, take it away." But the answer, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." You get to know, feel, know, sense my strength like never before when you're frail, weak, and tested. And know this, that in all things I was tested, just as you are, of course, without sin. And then when the last hour does come, that special peace of heart and mind, sins forgiven, standing right and righteous and just in God's sight, so that there can be that sentence of Simeon, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, salvation accomplished through Jesus Christ. And now, I'm ready to depart in peace. But in the meantime, we do enjoy life and want to live to the glory of our Heavenly Father and our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.